We're thankful for the ways in which you have loved us. We're thankful for the provisions that you've given to us so graciously. And God, I pray that that gratitude would filter through our walk. And Lord, each day we would learn to love you and thank you even more. Lord, that others might see that goodness. That others might see that grace. And then they might get to know you as well. And Lord, now as we turn to your word here for these few moments, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would move among us. And God, that your power would work through it. Lord, that we might have something to take and apply to our life today. So that we might be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're not having a Kids Connect as we are all together here for Thanksgiving. I want you to take your Bibles with me here for a few moments to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Today is a great family day for us. It's a day just to revel in what God has done, to be thankful, and then to enjoy just to be together as a family. And one of the things families do well is a good meal time. Now, I've entitled the message the Thanksgiving Effect. And when we think about this, you ever notice that after the meal on Thursday, you get a little sleepy? And you might be thinking the Thanksgiving effect is really that nap time that you need to have after the Thanksgiving meal and everything that happens. And people have tried to put it to the tryptophan that's in the turkey, but really it's probably the pumpkin pie. It's the sugar and all that you have in the pumpkin pie that usually puts you in that kind of a coma state. But there's sometimes a Thanksgiving effect that happens after, you know, being together and eating so much and just having that time together. But today I want to talk about the Thanksgiving effect of what gratitude for what God has done should do in our life. And how we should apply that and put that to work. And we're going to look at a passage. And really, one verse is where we get our application today, but it's housed in the middle of a very deep passage. And Paul is giving us a lot in Romans chapter 7. And there's a lot of debate about what he's saying in these different things. But I want you to see in the midst of all this what Thanksgiving does and the effect of Thanksgiving. And so I want to kind of give a feel to the passage here. So looking in Romans 7, go up with me to verse 13. And we're going to read down through verse 25. And the scripture says, "Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. The thanksgiving effect. This morning here, I want those words of verse 25 just to really stand out to us. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we look at this passage and you look at everything that Paul is saying in the midst of the discussion in which he's having, to realize what he's saying when he says, thanks be to God, the exclamation that he's giving here is a huge sigh of relief. You know, this is going to be one of the most profound things you're going to hear today. But Romans chapter 7 is sandwiched in between Romans chapter 6 and chapter 8. Aren't you proud of that? I worked so hard to find that out for you. No, what I mean is Romans chapter 6 is a great passage that is talking about, hey, listen, we do not have to let sin reign over us. That we don't have to walk in that sin. When we have been, if we have died with Christ and we have raised to walk in the newness of Christ, and because of that, we don't have to yield to sin or walk in it. Chapter 8 begins with that great exclamation in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's a statement of victory. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, and Romans chapter 8 is one of the most encouraging chapters throughout all of Scripture. It's beautiful. It ends with, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And all that victory and all that is talked about in Romans chapter 8. So in between the newness of life and not yielding to sin in chapter 6, in between the victory in chapter 8, there's this chapter 7. And did you catch the turmoil that was going on in that passage? I mean, look again and see the anguish and see what's going on in Paul. Verse 17, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. You ever feel like that describes your week? Oh, I have the desire. I got the intention. I want to do what's right. I want to stay on my diet. But my flesh just can't do it, right? We have those weeks. I want to do what's right, but it seems like this sin just has besieged me and it's just taken over. And Paul's talking about a struggle here that happens. And really he's showing what happens when we trust in the law. When we try to trust in the law and we try to trust in doing these actions and doing these things and doing this and doing that. And you realize that the law just doesn't measure up. Because no matter what, I want to do good, but then I do what is wrong. Verse 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And Paul is using the first person here, I, showing us this tension, this struggle. And you can just hear it as he's talking about all this that's going on. He's finding in his body is this inner struggle. And that's why he comes to verse 24, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me? The word deliver is carrying the connotation of rescue. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. This morning, no matter your struggle, no matter where you're at in this walk, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross has paid for our sin. And we have a victory that have those that have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we have that victory. We have that hope so that today we can be victorious through Jesus Christ. And so we see then the effect of thanksgiving here in verse 25. And so I've got three quick applications I want you to see. First, in the thanksgiving effect, thanksgiving appropriates what has been done. It appropriates what has been done. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there's an important preposition in verse 25 that through. Thanks be to God who gives us that victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That preposition gives us the meaning that through Jesus Christ we have done for us what we could not do for ourselves. This tension that Paul is talking about, the fact that he is doing the things that he knows he shouldn't be doing, and all this back and forth that he's talking about, the effect of sin and what we see it do in our life. He's saying, listen, we need to appropriate what Jesus Christ has done. We can give thanks today because of what Jesus Christ has done. We can give thanks today because of that precious blood that's been applied to our account. That means that no matter how much sin or how much of a sinner we might be, through Jesus Christ, we have victory. We have salvation. We appropriate what has been done. And that's what thanksgiving allows us that opportunity to do. It allows us to take that time to appropriate what has been done for us. And in this week, as we lead up to Thanksgiving and that time together and with family or however you might be spending Thanksgiving, we all have the opportunity to take that time to remember what has been done. What has been done? You know, I found it interesting. If you caught a little bit of what happened with the congressman that was elected, Dan Crenshaw, the former Navy SEAL and the veteran that the Saturday Night Live kind of poked fun of one night, and then caught the firestorm, as they should have, for what they did, because he wears an eye patch from the effect of an IED and when he was in war. And so the next Saturday, of course, they're trying to backtrack and make up grounds that bring him on. And really, it was an interesting back and forth. But Dan Crenshaw took a moment and he began to talk about what we can do for veterans and these things. And there's one thing he said is, one thing you can do is always tell a veteran, never forget. Because in that, you join with them and you say that this isn't just some divided group, but we're one and we will never forget what you have done for us. And it's an appropriation of what the sacrifice the veterans have applied. And when we look at Thanksgiving and what it has the opportunity for us to do, it gives us the opportunity to appropriate what has been done. Those that are thankful are those that realize what has been done for them. You ever had somebody that wasn't thankful? And you ever wanted to just say, hey, let me tell you what has been done for you. Let me tell you how this has gone down. Let me tell you how you need to act right now. But you know what? When we naturally allow that to happen in our life, it gives us the opportunity to appropriate what has been done and realize that. When you look at this passage, when Paul is saying, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, he's saying, Jesus Christ took care of it. Thanks be to God. We have a hope today. We appropriate what has been done. Now, the second thing we see is that it breaks the tension. It breaks the tension. After all this that he's poured over, I mean, you look at all this from verse 13 down through verse 24, there is not one really encouraging statement. He's saying it's sin that's in me. Sin is producing this. Verse 14, for you know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I seem to be in this state of sinfulness. Verse 15, I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the thing I hate. And he continues on, and you just see this growing and this building to where then it comes down to verse 24, wretched man that I am. And this is a very descriptive word that Paul's using here. It's a picture of this despair, of this hopelessness. Oh, wretched man that I am. He's understanding that there is really seems to be no hope in who he is. No hope in what he can do. This wretchedness. And there's so many times in our lives where it gets easy for us to look at this, to have this tension, this back and forth, to know what God's done for us. But yet we find ourselves too many times doing the things that we do not want to do. And there's this tension, right? I know I need to do this. I know I need to be grateful. I know I need to be in this area. I know I need to be walking this way as a Christian. But yet I fell here and I did this here and I did this. And there's this tension, this back and forth. And that's where this wretched man that I am comes out. Who will rescue me? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Of what sin produces in our life is nothing but death. And you, where am I going to be? What is going on? All this that's happening, and there's this tension, this back and forth. He's outpouring all of this in his mind. This internal struggle until verse 25. There's the answer. There's the break in all this tension. Because from here, things are going to change drastically. Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he pours out in verse 1 of chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A complete contrast of those the work of the law of sin in chapter 7 to here in Christ Jesus. Those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Even sometimes it's easy in this world to allow our record to stay with us. And there's things in this world and consequences in this world that seem to stay with us. But in Jesus Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. And so when we are thankful, when we are grateful for what Jesus Christ has done, it is able to break that tension. It changes the internal struggle. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. That through Jesus Christ we can break that tension, break that spirit. And you know what? There's a reason why the Lord said you need to remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. That you need this Lord's Day, that you need this time of worship, because we need a time where we can come in this house together as a family. Together as people from all walks, from people from all different struggles, back and forth. And a lot of them with the same struggles. Coming into this place, not because we're perfect, not because we're clean of who we are, but coming because He has given us a victory. Because He has broken that tension. And we can be thankful. But then thirdly, we see that thanksgiving motivates service. Motivates service. Because notice in verse 25, as he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. You know, when we are redeemed and we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that doesn't always mean that we're going to continue to act perfect. That we as believers still give in and crave to that sinful nature of our flesh. But the wonderful thing is 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that therefore if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And through Jesus Christ, we don't have to live in that sinful state. Do we fall? Yes. But through Jesus Christ, we know forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, we know a path of being able to walk with Him. Walking by faith, day by day. So that we can serve Him. And that's when He says, so I serve with the law of God with my mind, with the flesh I serve the law of sin. That's why He says that going on in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, that there needs to be a mind renewal. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know what? Put this flesh to death. Don't live in the desires of this flesh. You'll never fulfill them. You'll always be found wanting. No matter what substance you might try, no matter what drink you might have, no matter what physical pleasure you might seek, it will never be fulfilling. You always want more. But through Jesus Christ, we can find contentment. Through Jesus Christ, we can find fulfillment. Through Jesus Christ, we can find control. And there we see the motivation of service. So that now, because of this thanksgiving, because of our attitude, because of seeing and appropriating what God has done, because of breaking that tension in our life, we now can motivate service to serve who God wants us to be. That we can serve out of this love, out of this grace. That we can serve in this forgiveness. That we can serve walking in this holiness because of Jesus Christ. Then we can walk in a disciplined nature of putting our mind over our flesh and walking in Him. Thanksgiving should motivate service. I was reading some different stories about Thanksgiving, and I came across one in Reader's Digest about a teacher. Her name was Mrs. Klein. She taught first graders, and she was trying to do a Thanksgiving activity, and she wanted her kids just to draw a picture of Thanksgiving, of something to be thankful for. And she's walking around the class and just noticing the different pictures, the different things. You know, some of them, you know, you had the big Thanksgiving table, you had the turkeys, you had all those different things. But then there was this one kid, his name was Douglas. And Douglas was that one kid that seemed to always be by her. That one kid that she had to kind of keep a close watch on, kind of take by the hand, bring him to recess. You know, sometimes I think that's what Finley's going to be like. That one kid that, you know, she had to kind of help along these different things. And she come to Douglas' table and there was just a hand. And he had drawn a hand. And so she kind of asked, you know, what is this about? And kids were popping up. Well, you know, maybe some of them were giving good thoughts. You know, maybe it's the hand of God that provides food for you, or, you know. And the class was discussing this back and forth and going on. And as they were discussing it, she kind of lost track of Douglas. And coming back later, she stopped by Douglas' desk and said, "Douglas, well, you know, what was the hand for?" And he said, "It's your hand. It's always been there to help me." And you know, when we have the opportunity to realize what God has done for us, it gives you a motivation. Because Miss Klein knew, this is why I do what I do. This is why I go through all the hard times. But when we are thankful and when we're grateful, it motivates service. That's living in gratitude. When we live in gratitude, it motivates our actions, our walk in what we do. We can tell the ones that are grateful, and you can tell the ones that are ungrateful. And I pray that as Christians and as believers and as followers of Jesus Christ, as we walk in that discipleship, that our life is motivated by that thanksgiving. Thanks be to God. Because you see, as Paul is talking about all the struggle and what sin produces in our life, and folks, sin can bring us low. It brings forth all kinds of struggle and of issue and of back and forth. And sometimes it's there because we just won't take care of it through Jesus Christ. But when we walk with Jesus Christ, we appropriate the fact that through Him, my sin has been forgiven. That we put together in our minds and in our hearts, we appropriate what has been done. We then break that tension. The good I want to do, I'm not doing. All this back and forth. Oh, wretched man that I am. It's broken because there's thankfulness. And then it motivates service. Because of what He has done, I want to be thankful and I want my life to show it. I want it to be seen in us. So when we look at thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we see that thanksgiving effect, that it revels in rescue to serve in strength. It revels in rescue to serve in strength. That because of what Christ has done, we now can walk forward. We now can walk in service and we can walk in thankfulness. But it takes us reveling in that rescue. Reveling in what He's done for us. Reveling in that salvation. Reveling in the fact of 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Him to be sin who knew no sin that we might be called righteous. That all we like sheep have gone astray and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And we appropriate that. We break that tension in our life and it motivates service because of who He is. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have something to be thankful for this morning? We do through Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to appropriate what He's done and watch Him do that work in our life. Shall we stand? There with your heads bowed this morning. Do you know that gratitude is a very sustainable energy? Gratitude doesn't take money. It doesn't take money to be grateful. Even though sometimes we think, oh, if I just had a little bit more, I'd be thankful. You know what? It doesn't take money to be grateful. You can be grateful without it. It doesn't take time. If I had just a little bit more time, I'd be able to do this and I'd be able to do that. You know what? It doesn't take time to be grateful. It doesn't take skill. You know, if I just had more to offer. It doesn't take skill to be grateful. You know what it takes? It just takes you. Your heart, your mind. And gratitude then can touch every part of our life. It's a sustainable energy. Do you have it this morning? Maybe there's no gratitude because you've gotten away from your walk with Jesus. But you've forgotten that relationship a little bit and you need that reminder of what He's done for you, how much He loves you. Whatever it may be, wherever you might be, today I pray that we use that gratitude. We walk with Him, appropriating what He's done. so that we might serve Him with thankfulness. So in just a minute, we're going to sing "How Great Thou Art." We're going to sing it with our lips, with our words, with our hair. So this morning, I pray with our life that we would be grateful for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That when you had those days of feeling, "Oh, wretched man that I am," that you would remember there's an answer to that. And it's Jesus Christ. The altar's going to be open. And however God might lead you, I pray that you would respond today. Let's be grateful above all else. Our Father, we come to you so thankful for what you've done for us. And I pray that in the midst of all this tension that we walk in this world, that we would be grateful in knowing that Jesus Christ paid it all. All to Him we owe. And God, I pray that we would realize and appropriate what He's done, so we can sing with our soul, "How great Thou art." Work now in our midst. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. And we'll give you all the praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.